This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
We have spent most of the summer and will continue on for several more weeks in the middle part of Luke's gospel. And today's passage comes from that middle part as well. Luke, in his very beginning of his gospel, says that he is attempting to record an orderly account of Jesus's life and work. So he assumes that folks have perhaps heard some other accounts that maybe weren't orderly enough for Luke's taste. And so he's going to set down to put it in order in a way that he thinks will be most helpful. And this bit here is the part that folks sometimes call the travel log, this middle section. And it's his orderly account of what happened from the beginning of Jesus's ministry when he gathered the disciples together and started to tell people about who he was, and people started to wonder and started to follow him, to what happens when he enters into Jerusalem. And he spends that time traveling throughout Judea and Galilee and healing and teaching. It's called a travelogue, and Luke says it's orderly, but please don't try to put it on a map and track out all the places he goes. It's not orderly in that sense, and it won't make sense if you try to do that. But it is orderly in that Luke has an escalating sense of conflict between Jesus and the religious authorities of his day. And today's passage is one of the pieces that starts to build that conflict. It ends with all the crowd excited about what Jesus has said and done, and with the leader of the synagogue put in his place by Jesus' teaching and grumbling and unhappy with what has happened here. This question of what is okay on the Sabbath was very much a live one in Jesus' day. By taking it on in the way that he does in this passage, he steps right into the middle of an inter-Jewish conflict. And I want to name it that way because I don't want to suggest that Jesus was trying to abolish the Jewish Sabbath or do away with the teachings about the Jewish Sabbath. He's very much in the middle of a conflict among different people interpreting different ways of following Jewish law as it concerns the Sabbath. Even in the way he frames what he believes those synagogue leaders to teach, that it's okay to untie your ox or donkey to get them water, as he says in this passage, is putting himself in a certain place in that argument, putting them in a certain place in that argument. There were other folks who interpreted that law to say, not even untying your ox or donkey to give them water on the Sabbath was okay, that you couldn't even do that. That you had better make sure your ox or donkey had access to water before the sun set, before the Sabbath started, or else that was going to be a thirsty donkey come Sunday. So he was really stepping right into the middle of the argument. He's not trying to say no Sabbath. He's trying to help the people understand what the Sabbath is for. And the Sabbath is, in long tradition, but also in Luke's gospel, an interruption to our regular work and responsibilities. It makes us step away from what keeps us busy week to week, makes us pause and remember that God's creation is durable, fruitful, and creative enough that we can rest. That it's ultimately God's work that's being done in the world, and we can step away from our part of it for a moment. And in that sense, the Sabbath is another way in which we are unbound, we are unburdened, we are set free, just like the woman in today's passage. In Luke's gospel, salvation is a reversal of the social status quo. And it certainly is a reversal for this woman. She appears in the synagogue And Jesus sees her and recognizes her story. Unlike other healing stories in Luke's gospel, there's no back and forth between Jesus and this woman before the healing happens. He sees her and somehow knows her story, knows that it has been 18 long years that she has borne this affliction. 18 long years bent over, unable to stand up, seeing mostly the ground and her own feet. 18 long years of craning her neck uncomfortably to look at her friends or family members or neighbors. 18 long years where she would have to contort her whole self to see the stars or the clouds. Jesus sees her affliction even though they don't talk to each other. And he cares about it enough that he knows the Sabbath is for setting her free from that affliction, for unbinding her, for letting her walk upright again. At the beginning of this passage, this middle section of Luke, Jesus is in a different synagogue and he's handed the scroll and he says to the people who are listening, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to declare the year of the Lord's favor." And in that sense, this middle passage is orderly because Jesus goes about doing exactly those things that he says he was going to do at the beginning. And in this case, he is indeed setting the oppressed free. And he does that by seeing people whom some of the religious authorities would rather remain invisible, including the woman in today's gospel story. Don't look at her. It's the Sabbath. Let her stay on the margins. We had the opportunity this week to see as Jesus sees here at St. David's. We had the sort of ordinary ways we do that week after week, meals served at the Trinity Center, lunch together in Sumner's, and the care that we provide to each other and to this place and to the things that make worship happen. In all of those ways, we practiced seeing each other and our neighbors as Jesus might see them. And we had a few extraordinary opportunities to do that this week too. We gathered on Wednesday to pray and to say that we see those who are impacted by the harsh immigration controls in this city and this state and this country, to tell their stories, to make what would want to be invisible more visible if we could. And we said goodbye to our sister Judith on Friday. We told her story and sang songs she would have loved, and made her legend, her legacy visible to one another. And last night, we walked as part of Austin's Pride Festival. We joined the parade and said that God sees those who that no gender identity, no sexual orientation keeps God from seeing and loving God's children, and that we as the church are called into that love too. Jesus asks us to see as he sees, to not let anyone remain invisible as we continue on his work, to do our part to proclaim release to the captives and to let the oppressed go free, to unbind them and let them walk straight up as this woman does. So if you came here today with an affliction, Luke's gospel reminds us that Jesus sees that and loves you and wishes for you to be set free from that. And if you came here unafflicted, may God's blessing be upon you. And also know then that Jesus is bidding you to open your eyes and see as he sees, and share this work with him. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.